and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Amano, your host, and we're here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward so that they can reach their potential. That is what Avanti means, move forward. Teaching you a little Italian today. I am Dave Amano. Today I have on the show Randy Barkin. And Randy, hello. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, David.
So listen, I have to give you a little, my listeners here, a little prep about Randy. All right. Not only is he an amazing guy, an amazing friend to me, and massively good looking, I've known Randy since I was about 16, and I have him on my show early on here. This is, you know, early on with the radio show, because Randy is very instrumental in who I am today. He played a pivotal role in shaping me as a businessman and a salesperson today. So thank you for that, Randy.
It was my absolute pleasure,
Dave. So Randy owns Incognito Menswear, right?
That is correct.
Is that the official name, Incognito Menswear?
Incognito Menswear and Tuck Shop.
And Tuck Shop. How can I forget the Tuck Shop?
Can't forget the roots.
Formerly Tuxedo Park?
You can,
yes. And that's where I got my job. So Randy, well, first of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about Incognito, what you do, and then I want to share our story, our business story and friendship over the years.
Yeah, great. So we started, as you mentioned, as a tuxedo business. In 1985, I opened up a tux shop, and it was called Tuxedo Park, and had some great victories and great years in the tuxedo business. And like a lot of businesses, there were a lot of changes that were going on over the next 10 years that I got into it. And a lot of tuck shops were closing. There was a lot of consolidation. And along with that came some hardships for our business. So what we ended up doing through the years, through pivoting, is change the business model slightly to carry both tuxedo rentals and sales, which was our core business. And then we got into used menswear and now have gotten into new menswear as well.
So you have a great shop here in Penfield. It's next door to where Tuxedo Park was.
Correct.
And so your customers are men, young men, all ages, coming in to get new suits. How do you say, gently used? What's the proper word?
Gently used, pre-enjoyed.
Pre-enjoyed. I like that one the best.
One we like the most. Yeah.
And I bought stuff from you. I bought some new stuff, and I bought some pre-enjoyed stuff. And you would never know that it was previously enjoyed because you guys make it look like new.
Yeah, well, that's part of the whole thing is that, you know, once we get something in, we make sure that it's in perfect shape. We won't take anything into the store unless it's in like new condition. Mm. Everything is cleaned and pressed before it ever hits the floors, put on nice hangers to set the shoulders. I mean, it looks like a new suit when we put it out there.
Yep. And you have a tailor here?
Yeah, a couple of them, yeah.
Very good. Couple tailors. Excellent. So you're doing well. How long have you been in business for? What was your first year?
1985.
85.
Yeah.
And that was the year we met. So
See, now you said 16, but actually I believe you were younger than that when I first met you. You were going to a dance that was for 13 and 14-year-olds.
Well, I said 16 because I think, don't you have to be 16 to like legally work in a business?
Yeah, but you didn't start working for me until a couple years later because when you were 13 or 14, I offered you the job. You remembered.
Right.
Came back, and then when you were 16, you did come in and ask for the job.
All right.
So you always ask for the sale. That's right. One of the things you learned, I guess.
Always be closing.
That's
ABC.
Right. Exactly.
So the story is, yeah, so Randy has a good memory. So I was a little punk kid with my nose was actually just as big as it is now. Smaller face. Bigger afro. I was a Screech lookalike. And hence the no dates in junior high or high school. late bloomer, we'll say. I'm still waiting.
You're still
waiting. I'm still waiting.
Let us know when that happens.
Still waiting to bloom. And so I remember, so it, my dad, so it was the Chatterbox dance, one of these little foo-foo dances that Pittsburgh kids got to go to. And I had to get a tuxedo for it. And so we actually went to one of your competitors, and I forgot what happened. Maybe they were booked or something, but the woman there said, "Oh, a friend of mine or someone I know, Randy Barkin, just opened up Tuxedo Park in Penfield. You should go there." And so so my dad, we got in the car, and we're driving here. It was during a big snowstorm. And right before, right here on Five Mile Line Road, right before we got here, we spun out into the other lane. And thank God no cars were coming. Otherwise, that might have been the end of me. But we got, so we parked, came in. You took care of us. You were, you know, what were you, 21 at the time, 23?
I think I was 23.
23. Yeah. Young, excited, excitable, gregarious entrepreneur, ready to take over the world, right? And you got me a tux. And then as we said, a couple years later, I came back for the job. And I got training on how to be a salesperson, right? I mean, I had to, first of all, learn how to kind of sell them the whole tuxedo package, right? And then when we did that, we had to talk about the shoes and the cufflinks, right, and the right cummerbund and tie and all that good stuff, right? So it was a whole process.
That's right. It was right? A whole process that we had to go through and make sure that we didn't leave any of that out so we could make, you know, get right. The customers into the right outfit.
And then make sure that they returned it on time. It's just like Blockbuster. There's
big part of that is getting
fines.
Them back.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some fines. Yeah. And then you had me work Sundays, too, to accept the return tuxes, which that was a tough job because they, you know, you unzip the bag to take them out.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, you know, whoever I was working with that day, we would play Guess That Smell.
Is this suitable for right. radio? Is this good? I don't know.
I think so.
We probably lost everybody.
We might have to edit it. But it was it was some rough smells. I definitely earned my money that day.
Yeah.
A lot of times I was with my friend Steve Gissen, who's been on my podcast before, a friend of yours.
Yeah.
And he was very excited. I think you gave him the title of shoe manager.
He was perfect for that. Yes.
Exactly. So the back of the house, shoes come in. He would shine them up again, put them back where they belong. He was in charge of the shoes, right? And he was very, very good at his job. So so it was a great experience. We had a lot of fun. And then I would come back in the summers, right? And then, you know, help you out during the summer. You give me a job. And then you expanded a couple of different stores, Henrietta, Gates, right? Where were the other stores at the time?
Well, we actually got to have, we had a store in Henrietta. We had a store in Gates. We were in Greece in Stone Ridge Plaza. And, of course, our main store was in Penfield.
Yeah.
And then we made the brilliant move of going to Buffalo and opened up in Williamsville.
How are you saying brilliant for our listeners?
That was sarcastic.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So that there was some quotes
like
around that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That, you know, one of the things that I learned through the years and one of the reasons we're talking today is because, you know, I've come full circle in this business. You know, I started out with very grandiose ideas on what it was going to be like to run a business. And, you know, we made a lot of great moves in those early years. And then we also made some not so great moves a little bit, you know, in years 5, 6, 7, and maybe up through 10 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, it's been a huge learning process for me.
Right.
And, you know, we maybe overexpanded. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that on levels of, you know, things that maybe mistakes we made that hopefully your listeners won't make and learn from some of the experience that we had.
Right. Awesome. So on that note, Randy, we are going to take a little break, station break, some commercials, and we will be right back.
Fox News' Tim Shalhoub takes on the news stories of the day with comedic insight. Weekdays 3 to 6 on WOKR.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? We can help you if you qualify. Your student loans can be taken out of default. We can stop the wage garnishments, stop the collection calls, and stop the seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and see if we can help you reduce your student loan payments. One quick 10-minute call could solve them right now. So call the Student Loan Helpline now.
800-419-2201, 800-419-2201, 800-419-2201, that's 800-419-2201.
This is a fee-based document preparation service to help you access free government programs. Call for complete details. Not available in all states.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-368-5184. 800-368-5184. 800-368-5184. 800-368-5184.
Think of everything you do to provide for your family. A home, food on the table, healthcare, vacations, and saving for your kids' education. It's all good as long as you're alive. But it's only a drop in the bucket of what they'll need if you die without life insurance. Buying term life insurance is not something you can afford to put off. Call the Term Lifeline now for the lowest possible rates on quality term life insurance. Term life rates are at all-time lows, and we can save you up to 70%. If you already have coverage, you could be paying too much. One call could save you thousands of dollars. We have great rates for smokers, too, or if you have health problems. Providing for today is good, but it's not enough if you die prematurely. Call the Term Lifeline today for a free quote. Protect your family and see if you could save up to 70%.
800-430-1481. 800-430-1481. 800-430-1481. That's 800-430-1481.
Something new in talk radio. 1310 WOKR.
And we are back on the Avanti Entrepreneur Radio Show. Thank you for listening. I am Dave Amano, your host. And today on the show, I have an old friend and a great Rochester business owner, Randy Barkin from Incognito Menswear and Tuck Shop. And Randy has been a business owner since 1985. And, you know, few people make it that long. And so, you know, I know some days, Randy, you get up and you're like, you're probably feeling like you were just in the boxing ring with Muhammad Ali. And a lot of people will give up after, you know, 10, 5, 10, 15, after a year, right? I mean, it's like, it's tough. And I think sometimes you got to smell the roses and say, wow, I've actually made it since 1985. Which probably less than 1% of the people actually do. So pat yourself on the back for that.
Well, thank you.
So started out as Tuxedo Park. And then we were talking about, so in, here in Penfield, right on the corner of the four corners of Penfield, which is, Five Mile Line Road and Penfield Road?
Yeah.
Yep. And you took over for a guy named Boychucks, right?
Yeah, John Boychuck was the... gentleman that I bought the business from back in 1985.
Yeah, so some of you old-time Penfield people may remember that. And then had a great Tuxedo place. And so we're here, you know, to really help our listeners who frankly are a lot of business owners, people thinking of starting businesses, growing businesses. And we're here to really teach them. So Randy, I'm gonna do my best at extracting the learning nuggets out of your brain so we can share them with the audience. And obviously you've done very well. You're very successful. But like any business owner, it's been a roller coaster, right? There's been some bumps in the road. There's been some, the roller coaster, the loops, the turns, the ups and downs, the dark little caves for a while, you come back out. So you were talking about that you expanded and then maybe looking back, maybe overexpanded. So first of all, like, what made you expand? Like, why couldn't you just say, you know what, I've got a great shop here in Penfield, making a nice living. Why can't I just stay here? Why couldn't you just what do you remember was going through your mind as far as why you had to expand?
Yeah, you know, I mean, things were going really well. I mean, I when I first got into business, one thing that I knew that I was good at was running tuxedos. I knew how to run tuxedos. From my experience previous to opening up this business, I kind of grew up in the tuxedo business. So I knew what to do and how to get people in the door. What I didn't know was how to run a business. Mm-hmm. And it took quite a few years to really understand the difference between doing business and making money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that was one of the things that got us to expand, because we were renting a lot of tuxedos, and we rent a lot of tuxedos in Penfield, and then we went to Greece and we rented a lot of tuxedos on the west side, and then okay, so we'll go to Henrietta, mm-hmm. and we rented a lot of tuxedos the south side. We were doing a lot of business, there's no question about it, but at the end of the day, when we finished, we really weren't making a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And it took quite a few years before it really sunk in what we needed to do to get profitable, mm-hmm. and learn how to read a balance sheet and learn how to realize what the stores needed to do to be profitable and not just do a lot of business.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I'm obviously looking right at you now as we're doing this interview, and I can see in your face that you're kind of like, you feel maybe a little... it's not like quote unquote guilty about some of those experiences, or not guilty. It's probably the wrong word, but tail between your legs. And if it makes you feel any better, as you know, with my podcast and on my radio show, I've talked to, you know, dozens and hundreds of entrepreneurs, and every single one I think I've talked to has a story of like overexpanding, wrong partnership, wrong, you know, product, right. You know, like completely falling on their face, unless they just give up in the next couple, in the first few years. And it's just part of the journey. It's like you're earning your stripes, right?
It's you know, like you said, it's part of the journey. And I guess, you know, I did, as I've gotten older, I've realized that, you know, I wasn't alone in this journey,
yeah.
That there's been quite a few people, and a lot fewer people have made it than actually have tried it. So yeah, I'm kind of proud of that, actually, because there were many times that I was like, why am I doing this? I mean, there were quite a few years that I could have gone to work at Wegmans, McDonald's, and made more than I was making as a business owner.
Right.
And I think everybody looks at, the guy's in business, he's making all kinds of money, and all they see is the sales side of it. They don't see the expenses and all the work that goes into it.
Right. And the sleepless nights.
And this man, he's sleepless nights, absolutely, and the gray hairs. And so, I mean, I remember probably about 10 years ago, maybe 15, I just had it. You know, it seemed like everything I had tried wasn't working.
Mm-hmm. You have like the anti-Midas touch?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was, you know, everything accumulated. It was hard to first of all, the tuxedo business had taken had gone down. Mm-hmm. People weren't having weddings as large as they were. Prom kids weren't dressing up like they used to.
Yeah.
So I really was like, you know, I've got to find something else. I can't. This isn't going to work. And I remember sitting down with my wife, Leslie, who has been my backbone through this whole thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just had a very serious conversation on the couch. And I'm like, I don't think I can do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I just am not enjoying it, number one. Number two, I'm not making any money at it.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, we did make money early, but I don't know. Everything I'm doing is not working. And then I heard my kids in the other room, where I've been blessed with three beautiful children, Zach, Jake, and Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
I heard them playing in the other room, and my wife looked at me and said, you hear that? That's why you've got to figure out how to make this thing work.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
You know, it was kind of like a real, it was a turning point. And I talked to her about it many times. And kind of like, at that point, I knew there was no turning back. I was going to figure out a way to make it successful, and I was going to go back to the roots of the things that I was doing early on when we were successful in trying to make it so the business could work, or a business could work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, a lot of it has been luck. A lot of it has been hard work.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality is right now things are going great. One of the things that I have learned is that don't take today for granted, because you never know when a competitor might come along or when all of a sudden market conditions are going to change. So you have to be able to react to that. And I will say that if there's one thing that I've been very good at through the years is looking at the market that I'm in and making changes to kind of go with that market and you know, be able to adapt to what's going on in my business or business around me.
So tell me more about that. How did you say, How did you look at the market and say, you know what, I think I still want to do tuxes, but I want to add on some gently used, previously enjoyed clothing, and then the new clothing. How did you just all of a sudden do it all at once, or was it kind of like a gradual process?
No, it was a gradual process. We had, like I mentioned, we had stores in in Buffalo, mm-hmm. and we had stores in Rochester, and I had a small wholesale business where we were providing menswear stores and bridal shops with tuxedos. So yeah. that was part of the evolution of my business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of those were going okay and some were not. So what we ended up doing is we had an opportunity to sell off our wholesale business to a national company. Mm-hmm. And that was actually a big deal for me, because not only did it give me a little bit of cash and revenue,
yeah.
but it also made me go back to my roots, back to my store in Penfield, because I didn't need to have all these locations at that point. And I wanted to get back to what I felt I did best as a businessman, and that was taking care of the customer. See, when you get to be to the point that we were at, I was not really working with customers. I was working more with problems in the stores, managers, people that were running the stores, and I wasn't really with the customers.
You became the glorified babysitter.
The glorified babysitter, that's perfect, yeah. So when I was able to come back to Penfield, gave me a time to maybe get my competitive juices and also my creative juices flowing again, and came up with some ideas that maybe were a little bit unique and a little bit out of the box, but ways that we can also be a little bit more profitable. And again, like I said, it was little bit of good luck and a little bit of hard work and kind of getting the pulse on the market, and it worked out very well. So we started with one of our biggest areas that we always did well with were proms, and I felt that we needed to find another product line that would bring a little bit more revenue from that prom market that was coming in. So we started carrying some of the gently used clothes for the prom age market. Well, you know, the margins on those weren't great, but we sold a lot of them. And then I started thinking about, okay, what other products can we add that maybe in this little store of ours, which was only 1,000 square feet, we're going to be able to bring a little bit more revenue into the store. And that's where the whole suit thing came in. And from there, it's kind of blossomed. And we've, been fortunate that a lot of the suits that we were selling, we had a lot of wedding people that were starting to look for suits as opposed to tuxedos.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of been the catalyst for where we're at today.
So are you, if you're to just look at the whole business, are you doing, like percentage of revenue for the company on tuxedos versus all the clothing? Is it 50-50 or?
It's probably I would say it's close to 40-60 with the tuxedos being currently the higher percentage.
Right. Okay. Yeah. But you added 40-ish percentage to your business, right? I mean, you had to reinvent, right?
Yeah. So. Well, with that, having the added business, it's also brought a lot of new people into the store that wouldn't have come in before. So, which has helped, both sides of our store succeed.
Yeah. I have to say, knowing you as well as I know you, I mean, you are a people person. I think people come to the store to see you and, so I'm Italian. We always say we got a guy, right? Need a plumber. I got a guy. We need an electrician. I got a guy. Right. And I think people like to have a guy. So if I need tuxedos or clothes, Randy's my guy, And cause you are such a warm, friendly, personable person. Like if you own a restaurant, you'd be the guy that, you'd be like Mario, he's been on my show, Mario Villabruzzi, Mario's. People would go see Mario. They want to sit down with Mario. And so I remember, I'm thinking back to when you opened up that store in Gates, right? And I have a very good memory. And I remember you built like this big office for yourself. And it was like way in the back room, up the stairs, like kind of secluded from everybody.
Right.
I remember you hated being there because you're all by yourself. I think the dream of having an office probably sounded good to you. Like, oh, I can just sit here and run the business. But I think at the end, you just probably missed the people and missed, management by walking around, as they say, right?
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was alluding to is that, I got away from doing what I enjoyed, why I wanted to get into business in the first place, and you get away from the things that are so important to having a successful business is being with the people and taking care of the people, making sure the people are happy.
Yeah.
And it's you want to get bigger, but also it's hard to recreate that.
Yeah.
You know, that's why there's so many. There's a lot of great small restaurants and very few great chains. There's a lot of profitable chains, but not a lot of chains like, oh, I got to go back to that place.
Right, right.
You know, but, so I kind of feel that that was, you know, the one of the bad moves that we made.
Yeah.
But also we needed a bigger space to put out all the volume that we were doing at the
time. Oh, yeah, that was one big warehouse. I remember.
Yeah.
I remember. And, well, it's all part of the journey. I mean, you wouldn't have known that unless you tried it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you look at my journey, and I've tried a ton of things that haven't worked, but thank God, you know, 1 out of 10 things that I do try works.
Right.
That keeps me going. And I don't really, you know, I don't really dwell on the 9 things where it was a complete abysmal failure because I'll get sad and depressed. But
well, hopefully you learn from them, though, right?
That's it.
That's the thing, and that's why we're still here, I guess, right?
Well, you have to say, okay, it's a learning lesson. It's a new beginning. I heard a saying the other day. I know you like sayings. That even when you're falling down, you're still moving forward, right? Just don't fall backwards.
Just don't fall back. Right,
yeah, just
right.
fall forward. Yeah. Fail forward.
So you can
forward.
At least see what's coming, maybe. Right,
right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So so big question here. What's next? I mean, what, you know, the next 10, 15 years, where, you know, where do you think you're, do you have any ideas? Or are you still kind of noodling where you're going to go from here?
Yeah, so one of the problems of being through this journey that I've been on is not wanting to make another mistake. You know, that's always, I think, is a businessman, not an entrepreneur, because the entrepreneur side of me is always like, we got to make this bigger. We got to, you know, these should be all over. You know, you don't want to make that mistake. Yet I do feel that what we're doing, you know, could work in other markets. And part of the excitement of getting into business is seeing that. So one of the things that I have learned is that you can't grow without good people.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, one of the things that if we were to maybe open up another location in another city, I don't think that we'd be looking at anything in the Rochester market, because I think that we service the Rochester market pretty well from where we are right now.
Yeah.
Is, you know, having that core of people that we can recreate kind of the atmosphere, maybe not with a Randy Barkin, but with someone that has that same idea about and the passion for helping people and taking care of people on, you know, one of the most important days of their life, their wedding, their prom, or if it's a special event they're coming in to get a suit for, be able to create that for them. I've been very lucky to have some great people in the store that helped me to create that business right here in Penfield, you know, and that's been a big part of it. I couldn't take care of all the people that are coming through the door every day by myself. I've got a great crew. So, you know, yes, I do want to maybe look at opening up another location and seeing how that works, but it will be very slow, methodical, well thought out, you know, well funded. There'll be no question about that. You know, we'll be well funded before we do it. And, you know, we're going to look at, you know, what's next over the next maybe 2 to 3 years. Yeah.
Cool. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back to that subject a little bit more. Avanti Entrepreneurs will be right back, and we're going to pay some bills with some commercials, and we'll hear you in a moment.
Join Victor's own David Momano weekdays noon to 1 for the Avanti Entrepreneur Radio Show on 1310 WOKR.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? We can help you if you qualify. Your student loans can be taken out of default. We can stop the wage garnishments, stop the collection calls, and stop the seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and see if we can help you reduce your student loan payments. One quick 10-minute call could solve them right now. So call the Student Loan Helpline now.
800-419-2201, 800-419-2201, 800-419-2201, that's 800-419-2201.
This is a fee-based document preparation service to help you access free government programs. Call for complete details, not available in all states.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-368-5184, 800-368-5184, 800-368-5184, 800-368-5184.
Think of everything you do to provide for your family. A home, food on the table, healthcare, vacations, and saving for your kids' education. It's all good as long as you're alive. But it's only a drop in the bucket of what they'll need if you die without life insurance. Buying term life insurance is not something you can afford to put off. Call the Term Lifeline now for the lowest possible rates on quality term life insurance. Term life rates are at all-time lows, and we can save you up to 70%. If you already have coverage, you could be paying too much. One call could save you thousands of dollars. We have great rates for smokers, too, or if you have health problems. Providing for today is good, but it's not enough if you die prematurely. Call the Term Lifeline today for a free quote. Protect your family and see if you could save up to 70%.
800-430-1481. 800-430-1481. 800-430-1481. That's 800-430-1481.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.
All right, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. How is everybody doing today? I hope you're doing fantastic. I hope you're enjoying the show today. I've got a great, great guest, Randy Barkin, who is the founder, CEO, and sometimes janitor of Incognito Menswear and Tuck Shop. And I joke, that's what I call myself all the time, founder, CEO, and often the janitor, right? Do whatever it takes.
You gotta do it all.
Do whatever it takes. So, Randy, we're talking about how, you know, your journey of just continuing to reinvent, expanding, learning, kind of getting back to your roots and where to go from here. And you still have this, I'll say, like addiction almost of wanting to grow, right? It's like your drug of choice, right?
That's right.
So you're toying with a second location. I'm sure you're going to have to run by that with your wife.
Always,
right?
Yeah. That'll be the hardest sell of my career, yep. I think. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's just for what it's worth, I've been in business now for 22 years, and certainly I made, you know, some mistakes and expensive mistakes. And for me now, it's really saying, you know, how can I expand without spending any money, right? How can I take, you know, the Dave Mamano secret sauce and package that up into value that people need, right? And, you know, I opened up a retail center. I had magazines. I had a lot of businesses that there were a lot of hard costs to. And you know, kind of Dave 2.0 is like, how could I grow without having to spend money, you know? And that's why I'm doing this radio show, right? Because there's not a lot of hard costs. I bought a nice microphone, right? And
it is a beautiful microphone.
Yeah, it is a nice microphone. So, but so that, for what it's worth, that's something to think about. Is the Randy Barkin secret sauce? How can you bottle that up and help other people grow? You know, I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's a very interesting question. You know, I think that, like I said right before the break, is that, you know, the biggest key is to finding a way to get a team that believes in the product and that can create the customer atmosphere that I think we create here at Incognito. You know, I remember getting back to, there were two sayings that I remember when I first got into business. One was from my grandfather, who was a huge part of my life growing up and is with me every day. It says, keep your eye on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what he always used to tell me from the time I was a little kid playing Little League till the time I started in business until, you know, he passed. You know, he always would tell me, keep my eye on the ball. And and often, you know, in business, we don't always keep our eye on the ball. You know, we're looking for something else. We're looking for what's coming next. And we lose The bright, shiny objects,
right?
Yeah. I mean, everything looks, you know, like you can always do better over here, but you got to stay true to your core values is really what I got from that. The other one was from Mr. Boychuk, okay, who told me right from the beginning, and this was the advice that I didn't take that I should have, is learn to walk before you run. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I came out of the gates running as fast as I could, and had I listened to him and maybe taken a couple, 2-3 years to not expand and go so quick and maybe build the whole business a little bit more, I think we would have been all served better.
Yeah.
But in saying that, you know, some of the things, like, I don't know if you remember, you know, we did have in the early days, you know, we had a great team,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I came from a background of playing high school sports, and it's been a huge part of my life. I love sports, and we had a great team. We had you, we had Steve, as you mentioned, we had Paul Abash, we had my brother Jeff, who was on board, we had Rick Forward, and we had a great team, and not only did we do a lot of business, but we had a lot of fun. You might remember playing stickball in the front room
of
the store.
How could I forget that?
You know, but it was like taking a little bit of time out of the day to have fun at work and not just make it all about, okay, work, work, work. You got to have fun.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the things that as my career became more under turmoil, I realized that I wasn't doing anymore. It was all about, okay, how am I going to keep the lights on?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to be able to you know, meet payroll and do the things that you have to do as a business? You lose track of the people that are around you and how hard they're working. So I think to grow, I've got to be able to maintain that team chemistry and get another crew that can do that as well and get them trained properly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one thing. You know, you can't grow without great people.
Yeah.
So to move, I would definitely say we would have to put that team together.
Mm. You trying to get me back?
You know, Dave, if this show doesn't work out, the doors, I think I told you, throughout you're always welcome back. I think you possess a unique skill that we could use.
I think I upsold more cufflinks than anyone.
Listen, and pocket squares, you were great at
I was the pocket square king. Add-on.
Yeah, you were great. You're the best, without a doubt. That smile.
No one could refuse my pocket squares.
Yeah, no. No, you're always welcome back. Always.
The pocket square upsell.
Even
if
it's only 15 hours a week, I got a deal for you, you got to come and work for me.
Oh. Always selling. I love it. Coffee's for closers. Where are you going? So Randy, I always like to ask my guests about just personal productivity habits that make you successful. And I know you'll probably say that, you know, knowing you're probably like, well, I'm not sure, but I know you have to have a lot of things that you do in your life that just, like brushing your teeth, they're automatic to you. You do them every day, every week. And without those things, it affects your success. What are some of those things?
Yeah, well, one of the things, thanks to you, actually, might find this interesting, is that I've started meditating a little bit.
Great.
I got me some headspace.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
I've
started that. That's really helped, you know, quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think that you get caught up in you know, like in these routines. You got to get to work, open up the store, you're working late hours, you come home, and quite often you don't take enough time for yourself to kind of unwind. Because, yeah, I mean, you want to work hard, but you also have to find time. And I've learned this through my years, and if there's any entrepreneurs out there, yes, you have to work a ton of hours, but you have to also have time that is just for you, whether it's, you know, working out, meditating, just enjoying music, whatever. You know, I think you got to have some time for yourself, because all work and no play makes Randy a dull boy.
Okay? We don't want that.
And
Headspace is a great app that helps you with guided meditation. If you're not good at doing it on your own, it's wonderful. So
So you know, for me, my person, you know, my habits that I do, I think like the morning time is real important to me.
Mm-hmm. What time do you get up?
I usually get up around 6:30.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I like to go outside. I have my coffee. I go outside. I live out in the country. It's where I've been doing a lot of my meditation out there, and just trying to get my day off to a good start. You know, I think I also really have to say that my family has been a huge part of my productivity. You know, I kind of, like I said, when I had that conversation with my wife quite a few years back, you know, I mean, I realized from the time that my kids were born that, you know, this business wasn't just for me, it was for my family.
Right.
Now, I never wanted my kids to work in this business. You know, this was what I wanted to do.
Right.
I never wanted my kids to live my dreams. My goal was for them to live their dreams. And and I think, you know, so far, so good. They're off doing great things. And I know that right now they're all on a good path. So, but, you know, I think about them all the time, and none of them are living in Rochester right now, but we see them regularly and we talk regularly. So, you know, I think that just an even balance, you know, you have to have work, you have to have play, you have to have family. You know, don't just dig into one aspect of that, because your life will get out of whack. And I don't think that's healthy for anybody.
So a friend of mine, Jay Goltz, who was on my podcast, you know, you did, I don't know if you listened to that one. And so he's got a great, great story that when he was a young entrepreneur, he went in, I won't name the person, but Jay went to go see a very famous entrepreneur at the time, like worldwide fame, it being one of the biggest entrepreneurs around. And he went to go see him at an event where he spoke. And, you know, great speaker, great businessman. And afterwards, Jay went up to like his press guy, you know, his public relations guy, and said, oh, you know, hey, listen, you know, obviously he's a great business success. You know, between you and me, how are his kids? And the guy's like, is this off the record? And Jay was like, yeah, I'm not a reporter. I'm just another businessman. Okay. Well, actually, they're not that great. And the guy just kind of started walking away. And then he stopped in his tracks and turned around and came back to Jay and said, you know what? You seem like a good guy, and seems like you, that was like an incredible question. It seems like you really want to know the answer. So I'll be honest with you. Once again, off the record. His kids, they're really effed up. And he used the word, right? One was on drugs and one didn't talk to him. It was just like, you know, and that hit Jay like a bucket of water in the face to say, you know, if you are a successful, you know, world-class businessman, business-wise, making a lot of money, but your family, your kids are a mess, then are you really a success?
Yep.
Or if you're really overweight, right, or you're like a heart attack waiting to happen, right, are you really successful?
You're not making a reference to me.
No, right? You look fantastic. You know, I'm having trouble focusing.
We're
going to
end this right now.
You look great. So, but no, it's... You know, so his whole lesson from that was to really focus on being a well-rounded, a well-balanced entrepreneur. And obviously, in your journey, you've done that. I mean, you have a great, I know Leslie, a great wife. I mean, who doesn't love Leslie? You know, there's people that don't like you, and we could kind of understand that.
That's very understandable, of course.
But who doesn't love Leslie? Exactly. You know? And your three kids are beautiful, and they're all doing well. And you know, despite your joke, you do look healthy and fit and young, and your business is doing great. So it seems like, you know, in those three pillars of health, business, and family, it seems like you're doing very well with those.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yep.
No, I feel good. Yeah, no, I do. I feel that right now we're at a good place. I think all three of those areas are great, and I am pretty happy where we are here.
Yeah.
But we can get better. We
can always get better.
We can open up more stores.
Randy 3.0. Yeah. Could have done more.
Just kidding, Les.
Could have done more, right?
Yeah. So, like they say, and I've heard this many times, you know, like on your podcast by a lot of different people, is no one is sitting back as they're lying on their deathbed saying they should have worked more.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, you know, you've got to. It's also a great journey, you know.
Yeah.
When it works and things are going well, then it's very it's rewarding.
Yeah.
You know, that's what else. It's definitely rewarding, and it hasn't always been that way. Right now, it is.
Well, and plus, it's almost your hobby. Like, what else do you do for fun? I mean, are you a big golfer?
Yeah,
I golf
a little bit. I'm not a good golfer.
Yeah,
have you ever met someone that says, "Yeah, I'm a pretty good golfer"?
I have. I met Arnold Palmer once.
Oh, so. He wasn't bad. I heard of that guy.
He was okay.
Yeah. But everyone you talk to, I'm not that good, you know. Yeah. But
you actually mean it.
I'm definitely not good. As a matter of fact, I played with my buddy the other day, and you know, it was awful. But
would you rather work? Like, if you had a choice to like work all day tomorrow or golf all day tomorrow, would you at least hesitate about that decision?
it's going to be real nice tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true.
It's supposed to be beautiful. But, you know, we're busy right now. I've got to work.
Right.
You know, and I do like to fly fish. That's mm-hmm. a passion of mine.
Oh, interesting.
I'm a garlic farmer. Did you know that?
You told me about that. Where's my garlic?
It's coming. We're still, you know, perfecting the process.
Yeah.
I think next year's crop is going to be the one.
Bumper crop.
Yeah. So I do that more as a hobby. You know, mm-hmm. that's kind of fun.
Excellent.
You plan it. It's the perfect hobby for a guy in the tuxedo business, right?
Right.
Things are slowing down in October.
Yeah.
It's when you plant the garlic.
Yeah.
It grows pretty much on its own.
Yeah.
And prom season ends in May.
Right.
You have to clip the garlic scapes, and then in July you harvest it.
Right.
And it doesn't really cut into my work.
Perfect timing.
You get these beautiful, bulbs of garlic. It's great.
Right. Nice.
So, yeah. So, next year, when the next crop comes out.
You promise?
I promise.
I do a lot of different things with garlic. We have a lot of different recipes for garlic.
I'm sure you do.
Pretty much every meal begins with garlic.
Yeah.
Somehow.
As it should.
Somehow, some way, garlic and olive oil end up in that frying pan, and then the meal starts.
That's right.
In fact, we put the garlic heads on a grill, right, and just get them all nice and warm, and then you could just pop them out.
Oh, they're the best. That's the best way. The roasted like
The roasted garlic.
Oh, it's so good.
You're making me hungry.
So. I know, right now.
Let's go grab lunch.
We should. Yeah. Let's go.
So, Randy, this has been super fantastic. I think you said you were worried about can we fill up 41 minutes, and I. Randy, the way you talk, I said, absolutely. And
hopefully there's still somebody out there listening to this. But
absolutely.
It's been great. You know, so. I get a lot of enjoyment seeing what you've done with your career and some of the other people
Genesis.
That's very nice of you.
Yeah, appreciate that.
You've been a blessing in my life, too.
Thank you. Appreciate that. My first real job, Randy Barkin, formerly of Tuxedo Park, now of Incognito Menswear and Tuxedo Shop.
Incognito Menswear in Tux Shop.
In Tux Shop.
At the Four Corners of Penfield, 1823 Penfield
Road.
There
you go.
All right, there we go.
Coming in today. We've got a great special for you.
Always.
Has Randy got a deal for you? But Randy, if any business owners, really want to just reach out to you and say, hey, Randy, great show. I have a question for you. Would you be willing to let people do that?
Yeah, of course. Probably the best way to contact me is randy@incognitomenswear.com.
Okay.
And I'd be more than happy to help you and talk to you and any questions that you might have.
All right, appreciate that. Thank you, Randy Barkin. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave.
Longtime friend, 1985.
Long time.
I don't even know how many years ago that was. Well, that was 32 years ago. God. Because I graduated in 1987, and my 30-year reunion is coming up. So.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Pretty crazy
time
stuff.
Time flies.
So, all right, Randy, we have to go. Thank you so much. I wish you massive continued success in everything that you're doing, especially that garlic farm. I'm excited for that. And thank you, everyone, for listening to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. Appreciate you listening. And if you know somebody who would like to be considered for the show, or maybe you are a business owner that wants to be on the show, throw me an email at david@davidmamano.com. davidmamano.com. I really appreciate that. And have a great day and continue to move forward.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR. If you